Now, today is going to be kind of a brief introduction to the book of Romans, and in particular, talking about the word gospel from the introduction to the book of Romans. So please turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. If you don't have one, be sure you get the attention of our men, and they'll be sure to get a Bible to you. As we start this series, I want to encourage you to know that I know the book of Romans is huge. And so don't think we're going to stay 5 years on this. We'll only probably be one or two or three. No, we're going to try to do it in such a way to keep it fresh, to do more thematically throughout it, still covering the in the context, but probably not dealing with every verse in the book, or we would be here for 5 or 6 years. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 17. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son who was descended from David, according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also, who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Our Heavenly Father, stir our hearts. May we be great ambassadors of the gospel. May we hold high the gospel. May it be in our hearts. May it change the way that we think and the way that we live. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In a day of depressing news and uncertainty, we have good news here in the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news, or glad tidings, and praise God for the good news in the gospel. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. The gospel is the central theme in the book of Romans. The word gospel occurs 76 times in the New Testament in general. The word gospel occurs a number of times, 6 times, 4 directly, 2 indirectly, in the first 17 verses. In the Greek, in the New Testament, the gospel is translated from the Greek word euangelion, or meaning good news. The verb means to announce good news. We are a gospel-preaching church. We are passionate about the gospel. We sing about it. We strive to be a gospel-centered church, and the gospel should impact our families and our lives. Let's look at six thoughts here as it relates to the gospel found just in chapter 1 alone. And we'll move right quickly. Number one, Paul was set apart to the gospel. Paul was set apart to the gospel. Notice what it says in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. We read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 that Paul was set apart before he was even born. He was born to do a task. We've often heard the phrase, he did what he was born to do. And that's what Paul did. Paul was set apart. Now little did he know about it until the time when he was walking on the road to Damascus and God got a hold of his life and transformed his whole way of thinking. He didn't know he'd been set apart. God had a specific goal in mind and ministry in mind for the Apostle Paul. Set apart has the idea of selected or assigned for a special purpose. It's truly amazing to see that God would condescend to bring good news to a world that rejected Him and scorned Him. None of us deserve anything from His hand, and yet He chooses sinful creatures like you and like me to advance, to be set apart for the gospel, and Paul in particular, but all of us have the privilege of sharing the gospel. Number two, God is the source of the gospel. Notice verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. It's the idea from God. It is not man's idea that we're talking about. It's not a novel idea of Paul. It's not like a new philosophy that he came up with. God is the source of the gospel. It's not man's good news. It's God's good news for man. It originated from Him. And really that is the difference between the gospel of God and the religion of man. Man's religion always begins with himself, bolstering himself, looking within, finding the good within. But the gospel begins with God, where it rightfully has come from. Number three, the Old Testament prophets promised the gospel. Notice verse 2. It talks about the gospel of God, which He promised beforehand through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel was firmly rooted in the Old Testament. We find from Genesis right on through the whole Old Testament, there was the whole emphasis, He's coming, He's coming, the Anointed One, He's coming. And then the Gospels say, He's here. But they predicted His coming. They predicted so many of the things about His first coming. In fact, over 300 prophecies were fulfilled. 332 prophecies about Christ were fulfilled in His first coming alone. The gospel about Jesus Christ was rooted firmly in the Old Testament. I have a feeling that Paul is basically starting right off the bat in his letter, and he's responding to critics, and he's saying, this is not originating with me. In fact, the good news is really old news. The Hebrew Scriptures talked about it over and over again, about one who was coming. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we looked at a little while ago during communion, remember how it mentioned, and Christ died for our sins, what was the next phrase? According to the Scriptures, or in fulfillment to the Old Testament Scriptures. That He rose again according to the Scriptures. Again, it was predicted and Christ fulfilled Old Testament Scripture in His coming. Hold your place here for a moment and look to Luke chapter 24. One of my favorite portions in the Gospels, showing the connection between Christ and the Old Testament. To get the context, imagine you have two individuals walking down the road on the way to Emmaus. The resurrection has taken place. There was confusion. Had his body been stolen? Did he really rise from the dead? There was just all kind of conjecturing going on. And the disciples themselves were puzzled, excited, confused. And so these two men were walking down the road, and they're talking back and forth about what had been happening. And Jesus draws along. Luke 24, verse 15, talks about, as they were talking and discussing things, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And he asked, "What are you talking about?" And they must have turned to him and looked at him with kind of puzzling eyes and puzzling face. And, "You don't know what's going on? You must be a stranger to our town, because something took place here that's fascinating, the resurrection of Christ, but we don't understand it all." Later on, notice as Christ is there interacting with them, he draws things to a wonderful conclusion. He says this in verse 25, "And Jesus said to these men walking along on the road to Emmaus, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets, all the Old Testament writers had spoken of. Was it not necessary that the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one, should suffer these things and enter into his glory?'" And notice verse 27. "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." That must have been one of the best Bible studies there was. As he opened their eyes to the truth and led them from Moses on and showed how they were all pointing to him, that he was the fulfillment of their prophecies. Now go back to Romans. It's just the emphasis here is the Old Testament prophets promised the gospel, pointed to the gospel, predicted the gospel. Paul was set apart for the gospel. God is the source of the gospel. Old Testament scriptures predicted and promised the gospel. Number four, Jesus Christ is the central message of the gospel. When you hear gospel, think Christ. Gospel, good news about Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins and rose again. Jesus, it's all, He is the center. And you probably noticed that about every song that was sung earlier today, it was about Jesus Christ, all that He's done for us, all of His splendor, that He's the reason why we live, He's the whole purpose of our life. It stresses His humanity and His divinity. If you look in the text before us, in verse 3, it says, "It promised beforehand in Scripture concerning His Son, who was descended from David," emphasizing His humanity, "and then according to the flesh," again His humanity, "and was declared to be the Son of God in power," referring to His divinity. And we see all through Christ's life, these two working hand in hand, His humanity and His divinity. One of the best illustrations of that was, do you remember the time when the Lord got in the boat with the disciples and they started heading across the lake? Jesus did what? Fell asleep. He fell asleep, showing His humanity. He was tired. And yet we find later on, as they woke Him up, He stopped, He said, "Rebuked the winds and the sea." He said, "Peace be still." And the winds died down and it became perfectly calm. Here is Jesus Christ in all of His splendor throughout the gospel, fully man and fully God. He is the central theme, the central person in the gospel. Number five, Paul was eager to proclaim the gospel. Notice we see that in 14 and 15. Paul writes, after giving some introduction to the believers there in Rome, he says, "I am under obligation, both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the fools. I am eager to preach or proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome." Paul was under a sense of obligation. He could not keep the good news to himself. In fact, that's what good news is all about. It's to be proclaimed. You can't keep it to yourself. I have a feeling that when the Marquarts recently gave birth to their little one, there was some good news being passed around at work, would you say? Okay. There was good news among the family members. Couldn't wait to call on the phone the good news. Brothers wanted to tell grandparents. Brothers wanted to tell everybody in the neighborhood the good news. And Paul felt such an obligation for what he had experienced in his own life. He felt an obligation to share it with all those around him. The apostle says he must pay a gospel debt to all. No matter the barriers, he was going to proclaim the gospel. Who needs the message in our day? Everyone. Who does that include? Family members? Your mate? Your children? Your relatives? Your neighbors? Your co-workers and classmates? Police officers, firemen, and politicians? A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of speaking at a funeral, and I got the opportunity to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ, to give hope to those who were grieving, those who needed comfort. What a privilege that was. Today, later on at 5:30, I have the privilege of sharing with a whole other group at a wedding. I have the privilege of sharing about marriage and God's design for marriage, and I have the opportunity of sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. What a privilege, and I am eager to do it. I am eager to be involved in this process and to follow Paul's leadership and example, eagerness to share the good news. Are you eager to share the good news? Are you more eager to share the good news of a Cubs win or the gospel? Uh-oh, Pastor, you're getting a little bit personal here now. But sometimes I wonder. We get excited about a game that's won, but do we get excited about sharing the best news of all? Are we more eager to share about a concert we've gone to or the gospel? It's nice when we can go to a concert that talks about the gospel. Then you got both things that are awesome. Or are you eager more to share about the new car or your Savior? I trust that we always have an eagerness to share the good news of Jesus. And then number 6, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's motivation grew out of his confidence in the power of the gospel. The songs that we've sung today are absolutely fantastic. The power of the cross. Oh, the power of the cross. The power of the gospel. The death of Christ. And how His death on the cross on our behalf, it has the power to transform our life. New life in Jesus Christ. Do you know what the word for power is? Dunamis, from which we get a couple of our English words, dynamite, dynamic, dynamo. The gospel indeed has incredible power. But because TNT has a negative connotation, it may be better to use the word dynamic than dynamite. Blast people out of the water. No, but God's word has the power to change our lives. It is powerful. And notice what it says in the text. I am not ashamed. I know the world says we're all fools. It's a waste of time. I know it offends people. But Paul says, I don't care. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the dynamic, it is the dunamis of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Universalism says the gospel it's safe now because Jesus has died on the cross for us and He's died for everyone, and so we're all going to heaven. That's not what it says in our text here. It says the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who, what, class? Believes. Believes. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The late evangelist Dwight L. Moody commented that the gospel is like a lion. All the preacher has to do is open the door of the cage and let it out. It does its work. And I'm glad it's like that. I'm glad salvation is not dependent on me. Aren't you glad salvation is not dependent on you? We fumble. Our words are not used that are proper. We offend just in our demeanor sometimes. But the gospel, let it loose. It has the power to transform lives. And so, folks, as we think about the gospel, I trust that you'll always have an appreciation for the gospel. You see, Paul was thinking about those people he'd written about in 1 Corinthians. Some of them had been wretches. In fact, he says this, "Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who have had sex with men, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, they will not inherit the kingdom of God." But he writes to the believers at Corinth and says, some of you were like that. That was your lifestyle. That was your story. But you were declared righteous. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. They were transformed by the gospel, the good news. Paul had seen people turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul had seen the transformation in his own heart, going from a murderer of Christians, a persecutor of Christians, to a follower of Christ who couldn't stay away, who couldn't do anything else. He was set apart for the gospel. The outline before us, Paul is set apart for the gospel. God is the source of the gospel. Old Testament prophets promised the gospel. Jesus is the central message of the gospel. Paul was eager, and Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Folks, do you believe it? Do you believe in the gospel? Are you living in light of the gospel? The gospel changes everything. I trust that you never grow tired of hearing about it and praising God for it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we can't thank you enough for reaching down to sinners like us, so undeserving. We were shaking our fist at you. We turned our back on you, and yet you still reached down and made salvation available through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the good news. May we be joyfully sharing it with others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.